It is 20 past 8 on a Thursday morning. Time to welcome Michael Jones to the studio for his movie reviews. Morning, Michael. How are you?
Good morning, Danny. Too many films, not enough time today. We got comedies, musicals, capitalism gone mad, adult themes, weird stuff, body horror, and even weirder stuff.
My favourite genre is capitalism gone mad.
Yeah, it's all happening. Let's start with a movie called Good Fortune, starring Keanu Reeves,
ooh,
John Wick fame, Seth Rogen, Freaks and Geeks, and Aziz Ansari from Parks and Recreation, and most recently from the Riyadh Comedy Festival. Look out for Sandra Oh from Killing Eve, and a guy called Eric Estrada, who is no relation to the real actor from Chips, and Kiki Palmer. Actually, he is a real actor, this Eric Estrada too, but the original Eric
but not
Estrada.
Not the guy from Ponch from Chips.
Not Ponch from Chips. Kiki Palmer from Alice and Hustlers. And this movie is written and directed by Aziz Ansari, who made shows like Master of None. Aziz Ansari plays Arj. He's a struggling gig worker in Los Angeles whose life finally hits rock bottom when he's fired by venture capitalist tech bro Jeff, played by Rogan. Now, bumbling but well-meaning guardian angel Gabriel, played by Reed, who's playing him like a supernatural Ted Logan, takes pity on Arj and decides to show him that even if he had Jeff's life, his problems wouldn't be over. Turns out Gabriel is wrong. Arj loves his new life and doesn't want to go back to working three jobs. The body switch as a comedy device and the guardian angel are pretty well-worn ideas in movie making. Think Face Off, Freaky Friday, 18 Again, Big, and Dating the Enemy, just to name a few. So it helps to have three likeable characters, Arj, Jeff, and Gabriel, even if Jeff is only likable because he's so unknowingly appalling, to make the story very watchable. It's nice to see Keanu Reeves playing an angel again, like he did in Constantine. Fortunately, this time the stakes are much lower than Constantine, and he gets to showcase his comedy chops. Seth Rogen may be playing a jerk, but he's so much less annoying on screen than usual, making his character quite likable, even when he's selfish and stupid. And Aziz Ansari, he's actually quite relatable as everyman Arj, who'd want to give up the good life. It's good to see a mid-budget comedy on at the cinema for a change rather than just on streaming. It's more a nod, smile and ha comedy rather than a guffaw out loud job. And its take on the growing super wealthy versus poor divide in the US is pretty superficial. But communal laughter is a good thing. And it's an easy 98 minutes if you have the good fortune of having 98 spare minutes, not having to rush off to your second or third job.
What was your second or third movie you went and
saw? Let's go for a second movie. Kiss of the Spider Woman, starring Diego Luna from Rogue One and E Tu Mama Tambien fame, Tona Tiu from Carry On, Jennifer Lopez from Out of Sight, and Gigli. This one's directed by Bill Condon, who's done quite a few musicals like Dreamgirls and Chicago. This is based on the stage musical, which was based on the film, which was based on the stage play, which was based on the 1976 novel by Manuel Puig. Kiss of the Spider-Woman, it's the story of two prisoners, Valentine and Melina, one political, the other a pervert, in inverted commas, who share a cell in an Argentinian prison in 1983. To pass the time, Melina recounts the plot of his favourite Hollywood musical, starring Ingrid Luna, who is played by Jennifer Lopez in this movie. The two soon form a very deep connection, but will Melina ever break down Valentine's emotional and macho walls? This is a movie musical, so it doesn't take very long. We're soon transported from Valentine and Melina's dank prison cell into an old-school Technicolor Hollywood musical fantasy world, where Valentine and Melina become characters in a love story competing for the affections of Ingrid Luna / Aurora, with some sort of mythical man-eating Spider-Woman thrown into the mix. The plot of the musical is quite ridiculous, but it does showcase the talents of J-Lo, who really can belt out a tune and cut a rug. Luna and Tona Tiu, they hold their own, but Lopez is definitely the star of these musical sequences. Look, if you're watching this movie to see how the relationship slowly and steadily evolves between Valentine and Melina, you might find the musical numbers a bit distracting and may be better served by watching the 1985 non-musical starring William Hurt and Raul Julia. If you like it light and frothy, Kiss of the Spider-Woman will snare you in its web, but if you're looking for something a bit more real, Kiss of the Spider-Woman will be like kissing your sister.
Wow, well that's a hell of a metaphor. Where to now?
Let's move on to a movie called Shell. This one's starring Elizabeth Moss from The Handmaid's Tale, Kate Hudson from How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days and many other rom-coms, Kaya Gerber from Bottoms, Ariane Moayed from Succession, and it's nice to see Elizabeth Berkley from Showgirls pop up in a movie again. It's been a while.
Been a hot minute, yeah. Lizzie.
Been a while between drinks for her. This one's directed by Max Minghella, who made Teen Spirit. It's the near future, maybe about 2040, and veteran actress Samantha Lake, played by Moss, is desperate to reignite her acting career. The problem is she's competing with women who all look about 22, people like Chloe Benson, played by Kaya Gerber, who she used to babysit. Samantha is so desperate, she eventually lets her agents talk her into getting treatment at the Shell Wellness Facility. It's a crustacean DNA infection. Fused treatment, hence the name of the movie, Shell. This facility is run by CEO Zoe Shannon, played by Kate Hudson, which promises the fountain of youth. This movie is likely to be compared to The Substance. This one is much more tongue-in-cheek, though at some point characters may not even have cheeks or tongues, and it's not nearly as good. But it is fun. It's the sort of movie you'd have watched at a drive-in or rented as a $2 weekly back in the 80s. Shell is very much a self-aware body horror B picture focusing on the beauty industrial complex and capitalism gone mad. Like I mentioned before, Elizabeth Moss plays it straight, even as her character is thrown into more and more bizarre and inane scenarios, whilst Kate Hudson vamps it up as the megalomaniacal Shell CEO. Hudson's character is 68, but supposed to look much younger. I think she actually just looks like a 50-year-old woman in heavy makeup to me. Shell is set in the near future. People wear their phones on their wrists, but why does Elizabeth Moss's character still have a home phone? And how would the person who calls her even know that number? And why aren't the cars flying yet? Look,
all good questions.
Gore lovers will possibly enjoy the climax of this film, but Shell is a pretty standard potboiler. If you put your ear up against it, you probably won't hear much of Substance.
A pretty standard potboiler. That's 3 points to Michael Jones there.
Let's move on to
something completely different.
Not quite standard. It's a bit horrific, and it's called Begonia. It stars Yorgos Lanthimos alumni Jesse Plemons. He's the one that looks like a poor man's Matt Damon, but he's also been in Game Night. And Emma Stone from La La Land and a few other Yorgos Lanthimos pictures. And Aidan Delbus in his feature debut. This one's directed by Yorgos Lanthimos from The Lobster, Poor Things and The Favourite fame, but it's not written by him. It's written by Will Tracy, who did The Menu, and Jang Jun-hwan from a Monster Boy fame. Teddy, played by Plemons, is a tinfoil hat-wearing conspiracy theorist who has gone even deeper down the rabbit hole since his mother failed to recover after an experimental drug treatment. Teddy convinces the easily manipulated Don, played by Delbus, to help him kidnap the CEO of that drug company, played by Stone, because he's convinced that Stone is an alien out to destroy the Earth.
Easy mistake to make.
Look, Begonia is a very weird and very dark comedy satirizing conspiracy theorists, as well as the greed and complete lack of empathy of Big Pharma. As Teddy and CEO Michelle, that being Stone's name in the film, engage in a battle of wits that Teddy thinks will determine the future of the planet and Michelle thinks will determine her own survival, you know they're not all going to get out of this one alive. Plemons embodies everything that makes you roll your eyes and want to bang your head against a wall when dealing with wingnuts and cultists, whilst Stone completely embraces the persona of the superficially human and caring, yet only really caring about the bottom line CEO-type capitalist pig. But they're both fantastic and they're easy to hate. But harder to hate is Delbus as the slow-witted Don, possibly because he represents the viewer in this film, really needing to be told what to think at all times. Begonia is great until the last 10 minutes or so, which felt like a bit of a cop-out. A slightly more ambiguous or even subtle ending could have worked much better. For once, I would have preferred Lanthimos to leave the audience with more questions than answers.
Michael Jones, thank you so much for this week's movie reviews. You think that was cinematic? You think that's the only premiere you're getting this morning here on 2SER? Sydney's Megafauna are back. Thank you, Michael Jones.
Pleasure.